baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Jitter Park.
Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious.
Hello!
I think he did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cole.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
You are too kind.
Too honest.
That should be good corn time. It's a movie.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
You're listening to the Podcastle Set Jitter Saturdays. Tweet us at @_Podcastle and check out Robert's website at setjitter.com. Robert, you were at Horror Hound this weekend and you met, amongst others, the great Carrie Henn from Aliens.
Yes, Newt.
Newt.
Rebecca. But nobody calls me that. Brother.
This little girl survived for 2 weeks without any weapons and with no training. Why don't you just put her in charge, man?
So I did have her sign my Aliens movie magazine that I actually bought at the time. The movie came out in 1986. The official movie magazine.
Oh, there's that iconic alien. Same image on the video game, the arcade game.
It's official, so then you know it's legitimate. So, and I was like, oh, what should I have her sign? I mean, so I found this great page where it's her and whatever. And I said, will you please sign They Mostly Come Out at Night, mostly? And acting like I'm sure I'm the first person to ever ask her to sign
that. Of course.
But yeah, she was fantastic to meet and enjoyed talking to her. So.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah.
My first foray into Aliens was the arcade game. I think I played that in Disney World at some hotel before like I ever saw the movie. Obviously, I was a kid. But that image that you just showed in the magazine was the one in the arcade. And I was like, what is this amazing movie?
It's so amazing. It still is.
I realized, like, it's so amazing.
But yeah, so, and there was another, they had a Millie Shapiro was there from Hereditary.
Nice.
The girl that sticks her head out the window and...
and something happens.
They had a Weird Science reunion of sorts. So Anthony and Michael Hall there, Mitchell-Smith, Robert Ressler, and now I can't remember the blonde gal, Suzanne Snyder, I think is her name. So, so Judy Aronson,
the blonde chick in the movie.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So Judy Aronson from Friday the 13th. She wasn't able to make it there, so Robert had called her up, you know, and they put her on, you know, on. The microphone or whatever, and then he's like, well, let's call Robert Downey Jr. And so he dialed him up and he put it up to the microphone and it says, you know, what it said, you know, he got there, you're being transferred to voicemail number 313. They started giving out Robert Downey Jr.'s phone number live and on.
Whoa.
And yeah, luckily he took it away in time because he's like, oh my god, he would have killed me. But
3-1
it made for good show, obviously. So
yeah.
Jeremy Davies was there, who was, he was in Spanky and the Monkey and Hannibal and all sorts.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So he was one of my favorites and he's kind of everything that I thought it would be. And then of course, Keith David and a lot of the Thing cast, which is.
Oh, nice. Keith David's great.
Started finishing out my poster a little bit since I had Wilford Brimley sign it and he has since passed. So I thought, you know, I'll make this a signed poster of sorts. So.
Did you get Keith David's autograph?
I did. I've met him a couple times before, but I had not had him sign.
Did you do a They Live quote?
I did not. Usually if I do posters, I just say...
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, sign your... put your autograph and then put your character name underneath, and that way I can kind of recognize the signature. So I'll probably have John Carpenter sign it at some point here and make it complete. But
where
yeah,
was Horror Hound this past weekend?
It was in Cincinnati, so it's
right, okay.
If I had a direct flight, it would literally be a 90-minute flight. But because there's a connection, it feels like it takes half a day to to get there. But Fred Head's premiered there, so that's a documentary that I'm an associate producer since I invested in it. But it was kind of concentrating on Nightmare on Elm Street fans and 5 in particular, but then some other fans as well. So that had its world premiere at Horror Hound this weekend as well.
That's a good time, Horror Hound.
Yeah, your voice is really loud right now.
Oh, sorry. How about right now? Now.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it's just more louder than. Yes.
Is it okay right now?
It is fine right now. So
we're listening to NPR. Today we're going to be talking about the sponsor of the show, Soda Cracker Bread.
I'm not sure if our volume levels will match on this playback. So,
well, if it gets too loud, let me know. I don't know.
All right.
We're having technical difficulties over here. But, you know, every major theme park had the problems when Pirates of the Caribbean opened up.
It could be on my end, too, where computers just do stuff like that. But anyway, it was a good weekend. I kept going back. I was going to cancel. I wasn't going to cancel when I decided to go. So I'm always glad I did. Despite, of course, flight delays on the way back, but
yeah,
it's good to meet people.
I was back in Philadelphia last weekend, and I saw the Rocky Gym.
This is my Rocky.
It wasn't the best area, so I didn't get out of the car.
Drive-bys, location drive-bys.
I did the drive-by, but yeah. My brother lives like 3 blocks from there. He's in the nice part of Fishtown. It gets seedy right where the Rocky Gym is, ironically. But he never knew it was there, and I'm like, you really gotta brush up on your movie history, especially living in Philadelphia.
Yeah,
that's like
right
the main
there.
The major film spot, that and like City Hall, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I say that, but then also people like I'm like I don't go to my own movie locations.
Well, the thing right. But that's true, but like the thing with the Rocky Gym is there's so many buildings that look just like that on every other block that it's not like it's like it stands out as like
special.
It looks the same, and so, yeah, but it's kind of interesting.
Like, is this the one or is that the one? But
yeah, but I talked to my my uncle Don, who's a retired police officer, and he said, yeah, that's like Adrian's, you know, her pet shop is across the street, and it was a demolished lot now. And he said that it was a hardware store, and then they just like used a facade for the gym, obviously, because if you look at it, it's like too small to really fit. But he's like, yeah, that used to be a hardware store, and that bar is now like a pizza place, and it's really interesting. It's kind of cool.
Oh, that's awesome. So someday I'll take a trip back to Philly and do a little bit more than I could do in kind of my initial walking during the last Madonna tour, whenever that was that I was out there. But I did get stopped a couple times. Like, they're like, oh, it's the Set Jetter. And people want pictures with me and stuff, which is always kind of strange.
But. Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's so cool.
But I was walking
down.
You
should start charging for autographs.
I should. No, I was walking down one aisle, and you know, you can tell people are talking about it. And you're like, that's the guy. That, you know.
Yeah, they're whispering.
And they eventually somebody else. There was a different couple kind of came up to me, but anyway.
That's him.
That's the Set Jetter.
That's him.
I took a tour with him, but
I keep my voice low. I don't know if it's like.
Yeah, I think it was my computer. I think my computer just did something weird.
Okay.
For some
reason,
if
it gets loud again, let me know.
I think it. Yeah, for some reason, Skype is not our friend today, people.
No, it has COVID. I think.
Who knows? But anyway, but yeah. So it was.
But
a good
that's
week.
Awesome that you went there, Horror Hound. Yeah. I think that's good times. I feel like. How are you with traveling now? Do you get paranoid still with COVID? Or are you kind of like, it's going to happen? What's your philosophy?
And this might be a little bit backwards. I wore my mask the entire time in the airport and the airplane.
Smart.
However, in the convention, like...
No masks?
I didn't wear a mask. But the thing is, like, I think I'm always going to wear a mask in an airplane because I don't care what they say. It is recycled air and there's people coughing and whatever. And I was verging... Even pre-COVID, starting to wear a mask in airports and airplanes because you always just pick up something.
Oh yeah.
And so I think I will continue to do that. I think no matter what, the stigma will kind of be gone that people kind of get why you're kind of protecting yourself. But
right. I agree. I think pre-COVID we should have been masked up in an airplane. I mean,
yeah.
I always get sick off a plane. I got sick this last time. It was the sniffles. I tested for COVID. I'm negative, but it's just you're breathing in 200 people's carbon dioxide. What do you expect?
You don't want to get to your destination and feel crummy. And so,
right.
And people in other countries have been doing this for a year. I mean, it's kind of common sense. So I'll probably continue to do that. And, I'm one of those that I have all my Clorox wipes and stuff like that. So when I'm on the plane, I wipe it off and then I get to the hotel before I put my suitcase down and just literally wipe down. Everything I will touch in the hotel room, but doesn't always work, but I do my best.
No, I'm with you 100%. And I'm more worried about, like, I'm obviously wouldn't want to catch COVID. I'd be more afraid of being stranded somewhere. You know, like I was at my parents' house and that would be fine to stay there, but it's not like I could really see them. I would have to be quarantined and,
yeah,
you know, so I'm always worried, like, wherever I'm going, I'm going to be like a burden or be paying for like a hotel room for a week. And I just don't want it.
Yeah. For what reason? Just useless. Right. But
so anyway, I'm glad you had a good time at Horror Hound. Sounds like a great time.
Yep. Oh, here is the Fred Heads poster.
Ooh.
Mini poster.
Oh yeah. You sent me a picture of that, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. So they give out little freebies. And
that's
stuff
so cool.
That was my freebie stuff.
I like freebie stuff.
So I show sometimes up a couple of times in the film, a couple clips, but
really,
yeah. And it's from 4 years ago. And I'm like, oh, I look so young.
I got to find this movie. Where's it streaming on?
It's not streaming anywhere. So it's not literally, this was just the world premiere. So, they're working on future festivals and I think somebody's interested in purchasing it. So,
oh, cool. Well, you better hold off for a lot of money.
Yes. I want more. No, it's fine.
I want gold brought in. Sir, we just give checks via wire. Gold. Gold, please.
I want the Elon Musk deal.
He went to University of Pennsylvania. I didn't realize that.
Oh, did he?
You know, there was an article over the weekend. His girlfriend in high school or college, of course, is auctioning off photos of them. And it's just him, like, in class. But I was like, he went to Penn? That's so, like, random.
Would people want those photos?
That's what I want to know. Who's purchasing Elon Musk? They weren't anything like juicy. It wasn't like, it's not like a sex tape. It was just him like with a pencil, like smiling in class. I'm like,
and it's Elon. I'm like, I'll pay for some Ryan Reynolds in college pictures maybe, but not
sure. But that's different.
That's Elon a no-brainer.
Yeah. That I'd pay them just to see it. But yeah, it was just interesting. Anyway, we got a great show tonight. We're going to kick off with, I just want to mention briefly, Queen Elizabeth II is dominating the news, and she has the world's smallest casket, if you've seen that footage.
I have not seen any footage yet, so.
Apparently, she was like 4'11", and that casket looks like it's really small.
A tiny kid's.
Yeah, to say that respectfully. But yeah, I just thought it was worth a note to mention. She was the longest reigning British monarch. 70-year reign from 52 to 22. And, you know, it's amazing when you look at, like, what happened in those years, you know?
Everything she witnessed.
Everything she witnessed. And I'm not going to get into a debate about the importance of the British monarchy. I don't think it's as relevant as they think they are, but that's just me. Certainly a lot of money goes in there. But I will say there is something kind of cool. I've always found kind of fascinating about tradition. And, you know, they're the descendants of King George III from the 1700s. And it's, I don't know, that's kind of cool. But I don't know, it's becoming too much drama, Robert. Too much drama.
And the Meghan drama.
And it's just
I don't.
You're not down with the royal family, are you?
I'm really not. So I started to watch a little bit of The Crown. And then I was like, oh, I just want to, I kind of want to skip ahead to the Diana years. Just to kind of see
what
they did with that. But I did read that they're kind of pausing to try to figure out like what they're going to do for the last season to make it right or something.
I was wondering about that because it comes out November and I think it covers through like the, you know, Princess Diana passing away. But like they have to do something because it's going to be the last season, I think. So they have to do like an epilogue or something like that.
So I'll be curious and kind of go and no matter what you feel like, obviously now King Charles is not going to have the
King Charles.
He's doing, you know, like, no, I don't think anybody cares. No. It could just be me, but yeah.
No, I think it's everybody. I feel like because don't forget the British monarchy has not a great history with colonialism and the things they've done. So I feel like the Queen kind of made up for some of that. Not really, nothing will ever make up or abolish that, but she kind of did her best to not get political and all that. And I think to a degree, a lot of people respected that and loved her, but King Charles III, I'm not saying it. I think that's going to go away. I think the fascination for a lot of people is gone now.
Yeah. No, that was kind of the end.
He's a snake. He's a guy that cheated on Diana. That's what he'll be to me. I'm sure he's a lovely man and, you know, paid for your mistakes, but like that's all most people see anymore.
Everybody moves on. Yeah.
Right. All right. So speaking of moving on, what you've been watching? I see you did the Horror Hound Celebs. I'm glad we covered that.
Yeah.
What you've been watching? Robert, let's start with you. I'm very curious.
We both watched Jurassic World Dominion, so we can talk about that. So I finally, I got COVID, so I wasn't able to see it in the theaters. And if I can't see it opening night, I'm just not going to see it.
Right. Yeah. No. Why? Yeah. It's all or nothing.
Yeah. So I didn't care for it. My sister still likes it and appreciates it, and I was like, I was kind of not that impressed. And I do this thing, you know, if I'm watching a movie in theaters, I get to a certain point, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to even buy this on Blu-ray, you know?
It's not even over. And you're like, yeah, not happening.
Yeah. And I think about a third of the way in, I'm like, yeah, there's nothing that's going to be kind of going for me here to want to get this. And it's a little cotton candy. Like, now I was like, I really don't remember too much about it. I remember a couple of set pieces, but otherwise it was too... Like, what? I mean, everybody was, like, intentionally split up, and I was thinking of Bryce Dallas Howard, you know, the ridiculous plane, where they needed to separate her, and which was just ridiculous. They put her in a parachute or whatever, and she's a different, you know, like, and I knew what they were doing script-wise. Everybody had to be split up so they could all get back together or whatever, but it was just ridiculous, so.
It was. The scene where she's, like, underwater and the dinosaur is, like, looking at her.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, she can hold her breath for quite the length.
Yeah. And I'm sure we all do this in movies because, you know, in movies, people can be underwater for, I don't know, 10 minutes, it seems, with no.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no problem.
No problem. It's like, what is the. Where have you been practicing your breathing here?
it's like countdown clocks in movies where they're like 10, 9, and then like 3 minutes pass, it's like 4, 3. And you're like, oh, come on, guys.
And especially, it's super, I mean, can you imagine her adrenaline, you know, at the time, trying to get away from it, and she just slowly goes under the algae.
Yeah, no problem. I'd be more afraid of what's under there. I'd be like, eat me. I'm not going in pond water.
And hippie B.D. Wong with his long, luxurious hair. And
I wasn't too impressed with his performance. I think he's a good actor, but I felt like his acting chops sucked in this.
It's
just like, he's like fake crying, and it just, I don't know.
Yeah, and just
shame on them. They should have written a better role for him, I think. Yeah. He's a great character.
The whole thing should have been better.
Yes. I liked it better than Fallen Kingdom, but
yeah,
that's not saying much. I will go back to The Lost World before this. I did not like this movie at all.
No.
I just felt like they had so much talent they could have used more, and they spent it on special effects. There were so many ridiculous plot lines that everybody wanted to see Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum, and Sam Neill back in the original Jurassic Park. I know that's a ridiculous quest, but the movie was ridiculous. Like, throw them back in the same park. Let's see that. That's like what people want to see.
Yeah. And it was dinosaurs die tonight. And at one point I was like, this is... If you take out the dinosaurs, it was like a James Bond movie because all the set pieces were James Bond set pieces. Oh, yeah. And even at the end, they go to James Bond Island, you know, of like made up stuff. And I don't know. Like, how does. No.
And all the sets of them, like in Malta, and they're like the black market set, whatever that was. It felt like a Bond movie.
Yeah. That's why I was like, what are we doing it's here? But and so we're saying no.
To Jurassic World Dominion.
Yeah.
But what else have you been watching?
I watched My Friend Dahmer because that was Anne Heche has a very small role in that as Dahmer's mother. And I do like the film, and I think the film is unique because they actually did shoot in the Dahmer family house. Just kind of a strange, you know. Not a strange thing to do. I'm glad they did it. I mean, you can't get... You're getting it as close to authenticity as you can by, you know, you're filming in the spot where the woods and stuff where, you know, all this kind of happened and so forth. So, and she's only in a few scenes, but she's just kind of pitch perfect as kind of this eccentric kind of mother and so forth. So
that's the one from like 5 years ago, right?
I think so. Yeah. So it's
somewhere around that there. Old. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, I've seen that. It's good.
yeah, so, and I remember her role in that. I kind of really liked her. So, I watched Uncharted because, you know, I played the game before, you know, and
no need
to watch again. I enjoyed it more than Jurassic World Dominion, but just in a video game sort of way, I was like, oh, what are they going to do now? And the thing is, like, when your lead character's in trouble, nobody care, you know, like, he's, I hope Tom Holland doesn't die, you know, like,
right, what's going to happen?
Yeah, and Mark Wahlberg, I feel he's kind of like smushed in there, and I was like, I thought maybe Mark Wahlberg had a contract to be in Uncharted, and it had been so many years that he got so old that he couldn't really do it anymore, but he was contractually required to be in the movie.
Make an appearance.
Yeah. So, but I do like
he's usually a lead guy.
Yeah. So, and this is kind of a co-lead, you know, or something like that. So,
yeah,
it was no need to ever watch again. And also kind of cotton candy, which like, I'm like, oh, I remember a couple set pieces, but.
Yeah. But not anything you write home about.
No, no. So.
Uncharted sounds like unwatchable.
It's a put it on HBO Max on the background. You'll be, you know,
that's the best way to enjoy it.
Go get some ice cream and don't pause it. You don't no need. Yeah.
Which, if you're according to Robert's movie rating system, you could either put that at 2-star, which is movies to fold laundry by, or 3 yes. stars, hotel viewing only.
Ooh, I'm gonna put 2, fold laundry.
2, yeah. Fold laundry. There it is.
Yeah, I'd probably go see Uncharted 2 though, just because. We'll kind of see what fun they have. So,
right.
I watched Gacy, which there's a number of.
Yeah, which one? I'm thinking. Cause
this is the 2003 one.
Right. So, with the guy from, is it John Denham?
I think so, yeah.
Brian Dennehy.
Yeah, but no, I didn't watch. No, not that one, but there's some other one.
Okay. I'll stop trying to guess what it is. There's like 50 of them.
There is 50. And I think it was, I shouldn't say it was, I'm sure it was a Tubi one. And of course I was like, I needed to find that location of his house. So I'll be doing locations for this one. So.
Oh, how, I'm looking at the poster. How is this? I've seen this on, I think it's Tubi, and I'm like always curious. Should I watch it? Or is this like a really bad movie? Is it good?
I've actually seen it before because I'm like, oh, I do remember looking for some of these locations that were already on my map, and so I had already started kind of going through. So I thought it was a decent one. They can only take it so far before it gets, you know, you don't want to be have a disgusting movie. But I've watched this twice so far at least. So obviously, whatever stars that makes it, that I do think this is probably a good interpretation. So.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it then. Maybe tonight.
Yeah. So
maybe I'll live stream it with you, and we can watch it together as a friend.
I'm like, here's where the house is. Don't ask me why, but I watched Piranha Double D.
Why?
I've not seen it since the theater, and you know, every once in a while you're like, oh, I hated that
for sure.
I hated that movie.
Yeah.
And then I was like, was I just being unfair? And I think it was on somewhere. I was like, oh, I'll just put it on and whatever. And I was like, oh, this is why I hate this movie. Yeah. It's so cheap and it's so boobyish. And I don't know. The first Piranha remake, I thought they got it right. You know, it was kind of, they're kind
the
of.
The one from 2010 or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, with the floating penis.
Elizabeth Shue and stuff like, yeah, it was kind of, obviously it was
fun. It was campy.
Super,
it was fun.
Super tongue-in-cheek and, you know, Eli Roth and everything. So, and this one just like, one, it takes place at a water, what do you call the water slides or whatever. But it looks like a one location, one water slide, but like just super, super cheap. And anyway.
Yeah, no, I've seen all the Piranha movies. I don't know why I revisit the sequels, but I do, and I regret watching them. But just what you said, I like the original one. I like the premise of, you know, the original Piranha in the 70s, and then I like the 3D. But the other ones, I mean, they're, and like the third one, I think, they're like flying at some point. At one point, they actually have the power of flight.
Yeah, the spawning.
The spawning.
Right. So I really have a zigzag, so I'm good. That was the very bottom, and then I've been watching 5 Days at Memorial. With the great Cherry Jones.
Oh yeah, of course.
Have
you done locations for that one?
For 5 Days at Memorial?
Yeah.
No, that's just out right now. It's like a series. I think they're
I got you.
They're releasing it so far. It's like an 8-part, whatever. So I think I'm up to episode 6 or 7. So, so it's horrifying. Obviously, it's the real what happened at the one of the Memorial Hospital down in New Orleans during the hurricane and awful choices to be made that people and but yeah. So it's done.
It looks
really
good.
Well. Yeah, it's just kind of disturbing to watch, but. It's really well done. So
where is it streaming on?
Apple Plus.
Oh, I have Apple Plus.
Yeah, so check it out.
I've watched two things on there in a year. I should probably forget it exists.
Take advantage of it. So, and Jerry Jones. I mean, anytime she's on screen for anything, I'm always kind of riveted by her. And
24 signs.
What's the signs that you like to quote that you always?
Yeah, well, a lady, Mrs. Hanover was. She must have had a cold. I won't eat for a week. So what happened to your crops, Graham? I love signs. I'm due to watch that. It's that time of year. I watch it every September.
Is it harvest time to watch signs? So
I remember when we watched it and my friend Mike, the scene where he goes, she says, they're in the bookstore and they go, bud, I think we have one of those alien books. Somebody from the city left it in. And my friend Mike goes, we have books on aliens here. We're not this hick town. We do have books and aliens.
Yeah.
Let's leave it at that.
It's something.
It's a town.
And to go to the very low, while I was in my hotel room, I watched Moonfall.
Oh. Wait, what's Moonfall? Is that the one with the...
It's Roland Emmerich's latest sci-fi, science fact adventure with Halle Berry and Patrick Wilson. And
Oh, I'm not sure about this. How was it?
Whew.
Oh no!
It makes Jurassic World, Independence Day Resurgence.
Oh, worse.
It is. I think it is probably worse than Resurgence.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I'm looking at the reviews. Not good.
Hotel room viewing only, and nobody has to know that you watched it. But I was like, let me see how bad this is. I'm trapped in a hotel room. What else are you supposed to do? And it was.
That's even the lower tier on the rating system is when you're like, I can't tell anybody I actually watched this. Like, I'm embarrassed that I wasted time.
I'm telling you, audience, that
don't.
It's yeah, and there's like one, and they use green screen for whatever, you know, like they pull up, you know, one of the scene takes place at Griffith Park Observatory. They didn't shoot there, you know. He pulls up in front of a green screen. I mean, you know what I mean? You can just tell. And part of me is like, if this is a Roland Emmerich film, you shouldn't be able to tell that he's pulling up to a green screen with Griffith Observatory.
Yeah, why not film there and make it
matted in the background? And I'm not sure where they shot. Obviously, they couldn't afford to shoot in L.A. But and there's also there was some hotel, I think, in Santa Monica or Venice or whatever. But for some reason, there was like the only 6-story hotel or whatever. So they were okay with the tides and whatever. I'm like, that's not the way it works. Like,
it's so bad.
Oh,
that's not the way it works. Moonfall. It's embarrassing. It was that bad.
Please take a look at it. You will be dumbfounded.
I don't think. Oh, sorry. Kitty knocked them
out. Oh, those darn cat. That darn cat.
That darn cat. Classic. What was it streaming on? Did you pay money for this?
Or HBO. HBO. So.
Oh, okay.
You can Moonfall. Watch it.
I won't watch it. I'm going to trust your good judgment.
You might be saying, oh, what's this about? This looks like it could be good. And like, oh, the moon's not a moon, actually. Like, what? Like,
it's not a moon.
It's
misleading. Yeah.
It is something.
Is it a disaster movie in true Roland Emmerich fashion?
It is. And
okay. I guess the moon's falling.
The moon is out of orbit.
Got it. Let me guess. They have to go there to like, put a nuke inside to put it back on track or something.
Well, you know, emergency, you know, space shuttle takeoffs and stuff like that. And I don't know if I'm spoiling anything. The moon is actually a construct. There's a big machine inside the moon. It's just a shell for something, you know, like.
Oh, I gotcha.
So it's kind of like when they had to fly into the big ship. You know, and Independence Day, they actually now have to fly into the moon and fight different things and stuff like that. So.
Oh, that same old story.
That, you know, and of course, there's there's a horrible, you know, teenage kid that's estranged, you know, but I'm sure it'll work out in the end, you know.
It's all about him, the world of Oz.
And they're like, we have to drive to Colorado. I'm like, what? Like, where are you?
Why are you driving to Colorado? Because that's where we're filming.
And they're like, we have to get there. And, you know, I just, I was like, how does this continue to get made?
But, is it a better movie than Piranha Double D?
At least Piranha Double D knew what it was.
Okay.
And just
this thought it was better.
This thought it was, yeah, a much better film. So I do feel like you're going to have to watch it so we can just talk more about it. So.
Okay. If I see it, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
And I'll,
yeah, so.
I'll do some laundry to it as well.
Pay $19.99 and watch it for it.
That's why I didn't watch Jurassic World Dominion earlier. My buddy Bryce saw it and he said, and he's a big Jurassic Park enthusiast like ourselves, and he just said, I'll never watch it again. So I was like, I'm going to wait till it comes out. And then I saw it was, you can only get it for $20, and I'm like, nope. And then 2 weeks later, Peacock's like, here you go. Nobody bought this.
Here it is for free, I guess.
Right. So I that's when I watched it like last week or whatever, and I just, I couldn't.
What else have you been watching?
So Jurassic World Dominion. I've finally watched Elvis, which I think you've seen.
I have not. I'm a little apprehensive because I don't know how I feel about the lead. What was your
apprehension is warranted.
Okay.
So here's the thing. In true Baz Luhrmann fashion, I didn't expect a true biopic the way I'd like to see, like The Aviator or something like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of musical sequences. It feels like a movie that wants to be a musical, but it's not.
Yeah.
So, which I feel like you should go all the way. If it was a musical all about Elvis, like a Cirque du Soleil, I'd be all in. But like the music sequences aren't that great. They gloss over a lot of his hits, which is fine. I felt like the actor, he was okay as Elvis, but he did a little bit better with the later years.
Gotcha.
With the kind of the drug abuse. You know, I love Tom Hanks. I'm just not seeing the praise for him in this. I mean, he sounds like a character.
He has kind of turned into a character. I mean, what's he now? Is he Geppetto? And Pinocchio? You know, I was like, he doesn't need to be in every movie. I was wondering if, obviously, Elvis has a long way to, like, would his story be better served to have with something like The Crown or like an 8-hour miniseries, you know what I mean? To really tell the story versus here's the highlights of his life, you know?
Right. Yeah, I feel like with somebody like Elvis or Napoleon or Sinatra or something, you have to really give it its time. And it's a long movie, but they glazed over things. I don't know. It was Tom Hanks. I love Tom Hanks, but it just bothered me.
He
has this accent, and maybe that's the way the Colonel really talked. But I mean, Baz Luhrmann's doing contemporary music back in the like early days in this movie, so they're kind of playing around with history. They can't change that accent. The accent was like, get him into the show, and it's like, I just didn't believe anything he said.
So the terminal accent.
It'll be a while before I watch it again, but it wasn't terrible. There's some really good things in there. And I feel like they really nailed the whole, like once he reached Vegas and that whole phase of Elvis's career, they really got it down. And even at the end, they made him fat, bloated Elvis. And they made it work. Usually you just see a guy in a fat suit and it's like kind of sad, but they really made it work. So
gotcha.
Yeah,
I'll give it a.
It's a good movie to follow Wall Street.
I'll watch it in bed. Yeah,
watch it in bed. Yeah, right after Darby O'Gill, put it on.
Of course.
No. And then I watched. I won't give any spoilers, but Cobra Kai season 5. Have you seen it yet?
I have not. I was traveling all weekend, so I missed that. I know my sister watched it all the way through, but she said she didn't like it as much as previous seasons. So.
Yeah. I think. I'm biased because Sean Kanan's in it.
Yeah.
So I kind of was really, I was excited to watch it. And I was texting him during watching it. He's like, no, it's really good. And then I was like, yeah, I'm on like episode 3. He's like, just wait. And so I'm not giving anything away. He doesn't appear until like the last episode. So I was like, was that it? Was that like, But then he comes back and you're like, gotcha. Oh, they gave you what you delivered.
Gotcha.
So I liked it, but the only thing I'll say is it felt too crowded. They have Mike Barnes, Chosen, Johnny Lawrence, Ralph Macchio. I mean, there's four guys, like, towards the end, you know, running every scene, and I don't know. It felt a little crowded.
Too much, so.
And too implausible. I'll just leave it at that.
What?
Just watch it.
Okay. Yeah. I'll...
No, I mean, even for Cobra Kai standards.
Yeah.
The plot, you're like, come on, guys.
All right.
It's karate.
Well.
Not the Fourth Reich.
I did sit through Moonfall, so who knows where this is going to fall. I say, did they go to the moon in this one?
Moonfall. Oh, yeah. And then I watched Mike. I'm all caught up with Mike on Hulu, okay. Mike Tyson one, which is fantastic. It's like the best thing I've seen all year, I think.
Good to know. So, and I know, so we got Chucky season 2 coming out, and Handmaid's Tale is starting soon. So some good stuff is happening in the fall.
Good stuff's brewing.
Yeah.
Okay. And that brings us to biggest movie flops of all time. I've been seesawing with this, Robert, and I wanted to like run through this and get, first of all, I want to know if you've seen these movies. I feel like you've probably seen them all.
Only a handful, actually, because I was looking at them like, haven't seen it. And there's probably a reason.
Right. And yeah, it makes sense, I guess, because if they're flops, nobody saw them.
Correct. Or not enough people saw them, or it's not even worth. So, yeah. So some of these I was going, you know, I was kind of go through them. I'm like, I have nothing to say because it was not even worth my time to fold laundry. I'd rather stare at the wall than have John Carter in the background.
Do you ever find yourself in that situation where you have like a John Carter on and you're like, you know what? I really do need to like clean the gutter today. And you do something just to get out of the movie.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. And so John Carter's the first on the list is why we're talking about it. But, you know, you see the trailer. I'm like, there's nothing I even want to see in this, you know, because every once in a while you see something, you know, like, oh, whatever. And they might have some tentpole action scene. I'm like, oh, you know, I might want to watch it for that, you know, just to see or for a certain actor or whatever. A lot of these had nothing for me to gravitate towards. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and John Carter's the first one, and John Carter cost estimated $263 million and lost about $133 million adjusted for inflation. And when that came out, people were talking about, like, why is this so expensive? Who's asking for this? A lot of people didn't even know what it was about. It just was a weird, for 2013, it wasn't a superhero movie. It's just, I mean, in the sense it wasn't like DC or Marvel, it's just a weird... It was a weird thing that Disney
and it looked like other movies, because I remember like this movie that came out. This is a movie we've seen because it looked like all sorts of other movies that we've seen. Yeah, so
yeah, it looked like it could be the Prince of Egypt or like Genghis Khan or something. It's like, what is this? This is bizarre.
Nobody cared.
So John Carter's the biggest movie flop ever. Up next is The Lone Ranger. That didn't age well.
It didn't age well day one.
Day one, Lone Ranger was Armie Hammer, Johnny Depp, and this was like the pinnacle of Johnny Depp fatigue. There was like a fourth Pirates movie coming out.
Yeah.
He was doing all these like wacky costumes, and then he's like, "Oh, I'm Tonto," and you're like, "Fine." Mm. And this came out at the, I remember it was a summer movie, and I was at the Jersey Shore, and like nobody wanted to. Like we always pick a night where we go to the movies, and I think that was the only one playing.
Yeah,
and it was like. Yeah, you know, Monopoly sounds good. Like, even for like the little kids there were like, nobody wanted to see this movie. I don't know why.
No. Well, it has, there's name recognition, but not where people like, oh, I'm going to wait to see what they do with this. But now that you talk about it, I do like, you know, Johnny Depp and Armie Hammer. You don't get two more prestiged actors in 2022.
Right. Yeah. Armie Hammer's going to eat Johnny Depp.
Yeah, so, and yeah, same thing. Nothing, I don't care what great stunt they had, not even worth my time.
No, not at all. And Lone Ranger's not a story I know that well, nor really care about, you know? I feel like the Western kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it was great, but I don't know. It lost $186 million.
Oof.
So, between that and 221.
Yeah.
Next is The 13th Warrior, which grossed $61 million worldwide, lost between $112 and $210 million. What is the 13th Warrior? Is this Antonio Banderas?
It is, and I know Michael Crichton either wrote it or something like that. I think it was based on one of his short stories or novellas. And I think in 99, they were still saying, oh, Michael Crichton's attached. His name's somewhere, you know, from the writer of Jurassic Park or whatever it must be.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Same thing. And obviously, a couple of these are period pieces that we're not flocking to those. You know, yeah. Nobody really wants to see, but sometimes one makes a success and they're like, oh, let's do more of the same. People, that's what people want, and nobody really does.
And nobody cares.
No.
This is one of those books too I bought because it was Michael Crichton back in the 90s, and I think I tried to read it like 5 times and it just didn't, it was just so boring.
Yeah.
And I'm an avid reader. I love to read, and you know, I thought like, well, I love Jurassic Park, I love a lot of his books outside of Jurassic Park, I'd probably love this. And I think I tried to jumpstart it so many times and I just like gave up. I was like, this book it's not good. It was very boring.
How'd this get greenlit? Now, the next one, I didn't even recognize the title.
No, what is the next one?
Mortal Engines.
Yeah, what is this?
I've never heard of it. So it looks like it's a 2018 film. That's all I know.
Okay, yeah. It's starring Hera Helmar, Robert Sheehan, Hugo Weaving.
Yeah. Everybody wants to go to that. You know, like, oh, is this the new Hugo Weaving show?
Yeah, he was in V for Vendetta. Well, sign me up. Let's go.
And maybe there's a hidden gem in some of these. I don't know. So I'll give the trailer a watch and I'll decide from there. Yeah, 3 minutes to tell me all I need to know.
They're always honest.
Yes.
So that lost $174 million. The next one is a guilty pleasure of mine. I have seen this. I do like this movie. It's Cutthroat Island, which used to be the biggest bomb ever until... I mean, all these movies are past 2005 or 2000. Cutthroat Island was like the end of Gina Davis's A-list career for the most part.
I think the end of Rennie Harlan, too, where now... I think Rennie is... I think I just saw he's doing the new Strangers movie. Which is kind of sad. I don't know. Here's the thing. Cutthroat Island, like, it was fine for what it was. It didn't have, you know, like, oh, I can't wait to see that again. I certainly don't have it. But I think his pinnacle for me was The Long Kiss Goodnight, also with Gina Davis. But that's the film. And I think this followed up. I think it was after that he made this film. So I think they gave him too much money and it just kind of ran astray and nobody... Here's the same thing, period piece. Nobody's like, who wants to go see pirates?
It was a weird time to release a pirate movie. And like on paper, Gina Davis, Matthew Modine, Frank Langella, Maury Shaken, who was a great actor. You know, there was some great talent in the movie, but I mean, it cost almost $100 million to make, only $10 million it grossed. So like, I don't know if it was marketing, because I remember the trailers for this in the 90s when it was like in the theater, they were on all the time, so I don't know, but people were not cutting their throats to get to this island. It's not good.
Some studio execs got their throats cut, I'm sure.
Of course. Next is a DreamWorks movie. It is Sinbad, Legend of the Seven Seas.
Not even resonating with me. Don't even know it existed.
2003. And Legend of the Seven Seas lost $184 million. It's kind of surprising with DreamWorks. You know, you figured they would at least pull a profit with the people they have at the helm.
Yeah. Sometimes they tell bad stories, I guess. I don't know.
What's the next one, sir?
Battleship, which I have seen.
Oh, really? How is it?
It's nothing to write home about. So Peter Berg directed it, I remember. So I've met him a couple times. He's always at Madonna concerts for some reason. So I don't know what that...
He's a true fan.
That tie is there. So, and I remember, because I think I saw him at one Madonna concert and then I bumped into him and he's like, oh, I remember you because of the tattoos and stuff like that.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so cool.
And I was like, why do you direct such shitty movies, Peter? No, I'm just kidding.
why do your movies suck?
I think he's directed some okay, but yeah, so this just didn't do very well. And Rihanna's in this one.
Yeah, so I remember.
That was kind of, I shouldn't call it stunt casting, but I think she was supposed to kind of bring in something. But yeah, this is kind of a Independence Day type thing, you know, like whatever. Like, not
buying it.
Yeah, what year is this? 2012? Yeah, we've all moved past that, so.
Right, I remember when it came out and I tweeted, don't be confused by the sequel of this, which is Monopoly in real life or something like that. And then somebody's like, I think they are making a Monopoly movie. I was like, of course they are.
I
you know, like, of course, which I haven't seen yet.
But you were Monopoly, weren't you? You dressed up as...
Yes, Uncle Pennybags.
Yeah.
I remember,
so.
Yeah. But so Battleship's nothing to write home about. Did they ever do like the A2 kind of thing when they're like reading radar positions?
I think they, not exactly that, but I think they did something to it. So
yeah,
because they were trying to track different things. So there was a part of that. It wasn't hammy or anything like, but
gotcha.
But yeah.
All right. So Battleship lost $177 million. Next is Mars Needs Moms, which I think Robert Zemeckis directed this, right?
Did he? I now have to look. So no, Simon Wells.
Oh yeah,
Simon. So oh,
Robert Zemeckis produced it.
Okay,
doesn't mean anything. So
he might have taken his name off. So
yeah,
yeah, and this was semi-animated or computer animated, I think, if I remember right. So
right, yeah, it's one of those deals. So Mars Needs Mom failed. Next is Pan, which is
Jackman,
right?
Yeah, so and this is kind of the Peter Pan one, because wasn't there another movie called Guillermo del Toro Had a Pan, but I think that's a different
right. That's movie. I always get them confused. There's so many
yeah.
of them.
Yeah. So I think that 2015 is the whatever. I think I saw the trailer for this and it was I say who
who,
you go back
who
to
thought this was good?
Who thought this was good? So, but it does remind me, Peter Pan Live was one of my favorite horrible. This is
they were doing a few years back.
Yeah, musicals live, you know, live Peter Pan Live, and it was on TV broadcast, but and so forth. Kind of like they did Annie Live and Grease Live and so forth. But
right,
this reminds me that I actually own that on DVD.
Peter Pan Live.
Yes.
What a true fan.
Because there is so many weird moments. And
really?
Yeah. And, you know, you're kind of like waiting for it. And there's a couple of times you see a cameraman, you know, they're kind of panning, whatever. And Cristobal,
because you're on a
doesn't stage. Seem to know any of his lines. You know, he's kind of doing the Saturday Night Live kind of reading off or whatever. And there's one point where he's supposed to be doing this long singing part where it's like, oh, you know, like, and you could tell. It's not him. He's just standing there with his mouth open. And he's like,
oh, no.
He's like, is it time to go home yet?
Can I be excused?
which makes it one of my favorites. And it's just,
yeah.
How
it's a guilty pleasure.
Is that, yeah.
It can't be worse than, was it Roberto Benigni, the guy that did Life is Beautiful?
Yes.
He didn't do Pan. He did Pinocchio.
He did a Pinocchio, yeah.
But
so.
Do you remember after Life is Beautiful, he can kind of do whatever he wanted. So he cast himself.
That's,
as Pinocchio, and you're like, it's. I think that's considered like one of the worst movies ever.
It is
like 0% rating.
You thought he was endearing, but he really was not.
Right. No. He erased everything after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, Pan, Tomorrowland, which I remember they really struggled marketing this. This is the one with George Clooney.
Yes, and I wanted to see it, and it wasn't on Disney Plus for a while, and I remember, I think it's over a year now, because I remember it's like, it's coming in September or something like that, and I was like, oh, I want to see it. The idea seemed great to me, and I kind of want to see what they do with it, and I was like, oh, how, you know, and it's Disney, and they put money into it, and like, how bad can it be? And I was like, oh, that's how, you know, you watch it. Did you see it?
No, I haven't watched it.
It's on, I think it's still on Disney Plus.
It has to be.
Yeah,
it was just the mark kind of thing.
It did. It kind of. You remember early '70s Disney movies? You know, that kind of felt like that, but they actually made it in 2015 or whenever it was. Really? Yeah, and I was like, oh, it should have been better than it was, and the effects are fine, but the story is just like, what are we doing? Who thought this was?
Oh no.
A good idea. Yeah, but anyway.
Does it take place in the future kind of thing?
In different futures, yeah. So, I mean, it's in real time, you know, but then it's here, you know, like there's always, you know, a portal to blah blah, you know, like so it is a full laundry one, but you're like, well, how? It's one of those things where you're like, how can they mess that up? Why was this such a flop? And then you see, I was like, oh, this is why.
It's kind of an oxymoron in a way to see that. It's like Disney, you have all these like huge franchises, they can throw money at anything, and then on paper, like I'm looking at the plot line, Tomorrowland should be phenomenal.
But yeah, you got George, like, there happened? Yeah, and it was just like, yeah, did not work.
Okay, so Tomorrowland lost $171 million. Next is King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which is, your sister would probably like this, Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy.
I'm sure he's
Dreamy Blues.
I'm sure he's a fine actor. I have not watched Sons of Anarchy. Anything I've seen Charlie in him, I was like, where did he get?
Good looking guy.
I'll say that. Is. But I also don't see why. I've not seen his acting chops. Maybe he does a good job in Sons of Anarchy. I don't know. But no screen presence otherwise.
I think he's overrated. I enjoy Sons of Anarchy very much, but it's the ensemble that makes everything great. He's kind of a one-trick pony, I think. When he acts, it's kind of like angry and then not angry, but I don't see like a range of emotion. So gotcha. I don't know. But have you seen this movie?
No.
Okay, yeah. There's nothing that would make me want to see this.
I'm like, these are all period pieces. I don't know what's going on.
So. Right. Yeah. Stick to it. Okay. So Turning Red, that came out this year. This one is still in theaters, but it's not in theaters anymore. It's in select theaters. $20 million it grossed off a budget of $175 million, which I've never even heard of this. So maybe the marketing's a problem.
Either. It looks like a kid's movie. So
not made for us.
Nothing for me. So
you won't be watching Turning Red when you're in your hotel room?
I can't even do that. Yeah, that's definitely turn it off. So
turn it off.
Titan AE, which I think I did see in the theaters because it was kind of being touted of like, oh, this is cutting edge special effects. And then it was just kind of what we now call like the uncanny valley of filmmaking. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, this is
You saw this theatrically?
I did. I don't know why, but it was probably at that time where we're like, oh, we go see anything.
Right. Yeah. Right. Where especially with the cast was pretty good. It was like Matt Damon.
Yeah.
They had some names attached. Okay. And then.
Excuse me.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you. I think we have some repeats, but then I think it would catch up down here at Jungle Cruise.
Oh yeah, Jungle Cruise. Which, you know what? I give a pass to. It was during the pandemic. I think you're gonna. You streamed it after things opened up, right? I don't know.
I don't know. I actually like Jungle Cruise. So
me too.
I thought it was. I'm looking at all these. I'm like, this is one I would watch again. And I think the first time I thought I saw it was on a plane. I was just laughing out loud. I thought it was fun.
Right, yeah. I watched on your suggestion when you said it was streaming. I watched it that night, and it was very enjoyable. It was very entertaining. You know, I love the dad jokes, and I thought the whole thing was good.
That one should have been more successful.
Yeah, but I agree.
2021 was still in a weird time. So.
Right. Yeah, it was still kind of iffy.
Not like right now. We're all fine now.
Hey, everything's fine.
No pandemic. No monkeypox. We're all good.
We'll let go. It's fine. obviously we're kidding. Mulan is lost a lot of money, $148 million. It lost on a budget of $200 million. I think Mulan, didn't that come out on Disney Plus too, where you could buy it as well?
Yeah, only on Disney Plus, and then you had to upgrade, you know, or you had to buy it or whatever. So it was kind of like put through a lot of hoops to where parents like, I'm not putting out the money, they'll just keep watching the reruns, or they'll watch the original Mulan and stuff like that. So
right,
I go back to like, who
Who's watching this?
They think they have the appetite for this and some of their, you know, live action remakes, and nobody really does. Yeah.
Well, nobody really cared about the original animation film. I mean, yeah. I think it's the weakest link after the Disney Renaissance from, you know, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Lion King. Then they get into like Hunchback and Tarzan. You're like, okay. And then Mulan kind of like killed it. Like, I just, it's not a very interesting story.
No.
Whew. It's tough.
Not good stuff here. And no. Speaking of.
Speaking of not good stuff.
Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Oh, yeah. What's your policy on this movie?
Eddie Murphy, big no. Like
bigger that we're better than Spy Kids, though, right?
I've not seen Spy Kids, so I'm sure Spy Kids. I have no idea, but wherever it falls on below or it falls below Beverly Hills Cop 3. So
Pluto Nash had a budget of $100 million. It brought in $7 million at the box office. I mean, that's like five people saw it that weekend.
What year was that?
This was 2002. Yeah.
I wonder what, I'd be curious to go back to see what it opened against, you know, too. Like, you know, like it just opened against something. It opened against Halloween Resurrection, so nothing could...
nothing can touch it.
Nothing could beat that.
No. Well, here's the premise of Pluto Nash. In 2080, there's a colony on the moon called Little America. Businessman and retired smuggler, Pluto Nash, buys a nightclub. Like, no, I'm already done. You know, so you're saying in 60 years from now, we have nightclubs on the moon?
Yeah.
Like, no.
The moon is a construct.
So, moon is a construct.
I'm just telling you right now.
Right.
It's empty inside.
That's all it is.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. There's a white dwarf inside the moon.
Oh.
Spoiler. But, you know. There's a
white dwarf. 2001 had Final Fantasy, another movie where they thought, you know, big video game following. They're doing all kind. You know, Tomb Raider was big and everything. So let's do another one that's adventurous. And it's just $144 million it lost.
Yeah. And now, literally, it would probably cost a third of that, the same level of computer effects and stuff like
that.
Oh,
yeah. That yeah.
Doing in their basement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. It's a fraction.
Yeah.
So,
Now, the next one, is this one of the X-Men?
Dark Phoenix things? Is...
I think that's
yes,
what it is.
Yes, it is.
So, I remember there being something about that of like the kind of... But I never really got into any of the X-Men movies, and I couldn't tell them apart, but...
Nor I. They all kind of bleed together. This one, Dark Phoenix, cost $200 million. It brought in $252, which I feel like is on par. I mean, it's... I don't know why it costs so much, but, you know, I don't know what they were thinking that this would be.
Yeah. Get what you pay for.
Get what you pay for. Hearts War lost $105 million. I'm surprised it costs $70 million to do this. That must have been mostly Bruce Willis's salary with Colin Farrell. But it's not a bad movie. I just...
No, I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, it's a World War II movie about the Battle of the Bulge. It's okay. I don't think I'd rewatch it, but that must have been, Bruce Willis must have had a good paycheck, because it doesn't look like it would cost that much in 2002.
Well, good for him.
Good for him. A Christmas Carol.
I had to look up which one of this was. This looks like it's the Jim Carrey one.
Yes.
Kind of like the Eddie Murphy, like, well,
right.
I think we know how this is going to end, people.
Right. It's have you seen it, A Christmas Carol?
No, but it's, this makes me want to do a Expendables, but the comedic version.
Oh, yeah, right.
Jim Carrey's and all the people
that's
that
a great
are
idea.
No longer funny. I guess they already do that with
Eddie,
grown-ups and stuff like that, but anyway.
Oh, yeah. But no, it's perfect with that premise.
Yeah.
You know,
Eddie Murphy, and even though...
Adam Sandler.
I don't know if we talked about Beverly Hills Cop 4 happening, but...
We dabbled in it, but
yeah.
It was only when the teaser was released, the poster, I mean.
And then I saw they're bringing back a couple legacy characters.
Oh, which really?
Is a weird thing to say about Beverly Hills Cop. But yeah, Judge Reinhold and whoever the other guy is. I can't remember his name now. So.
Oh, cool. Is there a teaser or trailer for it out?
No, I think it was just a behind-the-scenes thing. Picture. They saw them on the set, so... They're like, oh, somebody's coming back. And it's like, well, good for them. Everybody's getting paid. So
yeah, we're all getting money for this.
Yeah. And I'm like, please bring George Lucas back.
Best cameo in film history ever.
Now, that's where I go back. Bravo's Cup 3, I could watch over and over again.
You have talked about that a lot.
It is a delight.
It's a delight. Do you remember when you first saw that and you're like, Eddie Murphy doesn't even look like he wants to be there?
Yeah, I was like sloughing through his lines and...
Yeah, like phoning him in.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Needs money.
He needs a house payment.
But back to Christmas Carol. No, I have no idea.
Yeah, you know what? I love Christmas Carol, the book. And I read it every year, and I love that whole scene. And this movie, which I loved Polar Express, I thought it was going to be another one of those. Like, it has soul, had no soul to it. It was just very flat. And it's a shame. Because they did the right job with the story in A Christmas Carol. They added more of the darker elements in a Charles Dickens' his book.
Yeah.
So I thought like that a lot of other Christmas Carol interpretations glossed over, but just no soul in it, you know? It's just, I don't know. It was flat. It wasn't very good. What's the next one, Sarah?
Wonder Woman 1984.
Oh.
So
okay, pandemic release.
Yeah, which, but it had two beginnings. Like, each 15 minutes each. I'm like, is this the beginning of the movie? No, now here's the real beginning. Right. And you're like, what? It was kind of like, I make fun of Madonna because, like, you can tell her, like, oh, she wore all of her favorite things tonight. You know, like, you need to take off some of these accessories. Same thing.
Too much.
You need to take off some of these scenes, you know.
Yeah.
Both would be great as an opening scene. Not really, but...
but use discretion and
maybe I'll save this for potential Wonder Woman 3. Because I can't remember, is the first opening the when she was a little girl, you know, and
yeah,
running and whatever. I was like, who? I don't
know. We've already established that in the first one, like,
and then you go to like oh, here's the real, you know, 1980
Smithsonian.
Oh, I just think the 1984 in the mall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where she's like, whatever. And it's like a little overly goofy. You're like, oh, no, this I don't want this either. And then you realize you get through the movie. I'm like, I didn't want any of this movie. The first Wonder Woman movie update was great. I mean, it.
Yeah, I loved it. I
surpassed expectations. And I'm like, you know what? They should have. And maybe on paper, this should, you know, I'm like, oh, okay. I like it taking place in 84 and it adds kind of something kind of unique to it, so we're not kind of seeing it. How does one more continue to work in modern times? But it also had water cooler moments where, like, wait a second, if Chris Pine was in his body and she was sleeping with him, but it wasn't really him, it was some other guy, like, what?
Yeah, how does that work?
How wrong is that, you know?
Right. Yeah, right. What is she doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. And, like, the chase scene in the cars, it was just, like, too much. Yeah, very, very bad departure from the first one.
So a lot of these people were saying, yeah, it's most of this is well-deserved.
Right, yeah.
Shame on you, studios.
Right, shame on you for thinking this was a good idea. Next is A Wrinkle in Time, which is this Oprah's movie?
Yeah, I only remember Oprah standing in a field, and I'm like, what?
130 million, and it only grows to 132 million. So they covered their losses, but
yeah,
not really.
If you take marketing and all sorts of other things. But yeah, I only saw the trailer for this, and I'm like, this movie is not for me. Maybe it'll do well, but these fantasy movies don't. I don't know. Either I'm not of the age to kind of care anymore, or kind of nobody wants to be kind of lost in these fantasy worlds, or they're better read than actually seen. Because a lot of these are based on books.
A lot of them are based on books, but I also feel like the successful fantasy movies have a popular source material where, like, A Wrinkle in Time, I'm sure, is great book-wise, but I mean, I don't know a lot of people that have even really heard of it, where if you take, like, a Lord of the Rings or, you know, something like that, they've been, you know, literature folklore for decades. Like the, I don't know. It seems that for the price it costs to make this, which is $125 million, it seems very very ambitious for something that most people really have never heard of.
Yeah. So
risk.
And Oprah's well known, but she's not going to bring in like ooh.
No, yeah, she's not known for her acting chops. Although yeah. She's great in The Color Purple.
Color Purple, but yeah.
She's not, you know, she's not bringing people into a movie.
Harpo.
Yep. Harpo.
Beater. Yeah.
Color Purple. finally, it's Terminator Dark Fate, which cost $196 million and only brought in $261 million. But I guess with the advertising, it... the marketing, that's a huge hit.
Would you believe I saw this in the theater?
Did you really?
Well, every once in a while, people, it is pouring rain in LA, and my location plans are shot for the day. So, hence, Terminator Dark Fate. I watched it. I saw it in the theater in LA because it was like pouring cats and dogs. I was like, well, I guess that day is shot. I'll go see the new Terminator movie.
Oh, wow. That is a very rare day.
Yeah.
Did you see it in Burbank?
No, in Ontario. I was flying out of the Ontario airport the next day, and so I was staying in Ontario, and so I thought it was just playing down the street, and I was like, well, I think it was... I saw it on Thanksgiving.
My gosh.
Because, yeah, I was... I think it actually was Thanksgiving. I was going to be flying to... I was flying it from Ontario to... Oregon to stay at the Shining Hotel, and I was going to fly from there to Vancouver to meet my family. But anyway, long story. Yeah, Terminator Dark Fate in a non-Alamo theater because I was like, and same thing. I was like, well, how bad can it be? They got Linda back. They put some money towards it. Let's see what they do. And some decent set pieces, but still, this was also, you know, post-Halloween, you know, where people were like, all the sequels don't count, or only this counts. And
they retconned the sequels.
This was supposed to be more or less after Terminator 2. Now, I will say it had some impressive, I don't know if we call it CGI or kind of refacing or whatever, of making Linda Hamilton and Eddie Furlong. Literally, they looked, that was one of the best kind of face CGIs that I saw when they kind of did that additional flashback scene. So have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen
it. Okay.
Pretty good.
That scene alone, I was like, oh, this is
really?
Content wise, I was like, I kind of question why they did that what they did, but special effects wise, I'm like, oh, this looks like they shot this in 1990 or 91. It looked like, I was like, did they use, you know,
did it really look that good?
I thought so. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. That would make me want to watch it. I would see it for that. That's pretty cool.
And sometimes, and it would be, I'm sure, hugely expensive. I'm like, well, in that case, just do. Then I'd be actually, and they would never be able to pull it off, because then you get like Grand Moff Tarkin and was it Rogue One or something, like, we're like, oh, he just looks creepy.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Computer guy running around with actual people. Maybe they, you know, put all their money into kind of that. So anyway, I would recommend at least giving the opening a watch and saying, oh, okay, this could be good. And then kind of like the other Terminators, it kind of begins to dissipate and dissipate until the end. You're like, just end this.
How do you rate it in the franchise as a whole? Like, is it better than Terminator 3?
I like Terminator 3, so
I do too.
I have ending. Always have a soft spot for that. So, and I think the ending is what kind of cinched it for me. Like, if it didn't quite have like that dark ending, I'd be like, oh, okay, it was fine. But I think the dark ending of Terminator 3 is like, oh, this is serious. Like, we didn't win, and you know. And then the other Terminators begin. What's the prequel? Salvation.
Genesis.
Salvation. Salvation was the next one where it's.
Christian Bale.
Yeah. Who I just, speaking of, I have on my list, I just rewatched American Psycho as well because it happened to be hotel. That's a movie I'll get stuck and I'll just watch all the way through.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure. I don't think it's that fantastic of a film, but it's riveting to watch. But so that one kind of sucked. And then Terminator Genesis also kind of sucked.
Yeah. I wasn't blown away by it.
Yeah. So it's probably a step above those two, but still.
Okay.
Fourth place, maybe.
Okay. All right. It holds on a little bit, but it could be better.
Yeah.
All right. All right, cool. So I think that's the list. Those are the biggest flops, ladies and gentlemen. So go out and rent them.
So far.
I think you're going to start seeing these flops more and more because with the, they're hit or miss in a lot of cases. Like if you look at some of the, they're never going to do like a Cutthroat Island again where they're taking a huge risk off something like that. But when you look at, like some of the animated ones, you figure like, well, DreamWorks, this, kids, same animators, like throw it in there.
Yeah.
And they don't work. So it's really interesting to see that most of these flops happened in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only one or two before the year 2000. So it's interesting.
And how's it going to, let's say Halloween Kills or Halloween Ends, do they take in how much they sold it to Peacock for? Or, those aren't identifiable numbers, so you could no longer kind of tell, was it a hit, really? I don't know. But
yeah, right. You don't know. What do you do? And I still don't even know how that whole thing, streaming system works. Do they lease the movie and then they play it? You know what I mean? For streaming services, how do you, divvy up? So, hey, we're going to show, Demolition Man for the next 2 months.
Yeah.
How do you gauge that?
So some of that stuff I picture, the older movies, they kind of lease them out and say, we'll pay this much or whatever. When they have a new movie and everybody's still paying $5 a month for Peacock or whatever it is, Peacock's not getting enough. I was like, is that even economically work? Is there an Ozark thing going on here? I don't know. Yeah.
How do you break that down?
Yeah. And what formulas do studios have for say, it's cheap or kind of like Batgirl. It's cheaper for us to never show this movie.
Right. $90 million.
Yeah. How can that be? I don't know. But it's cheaper for us to not release it or do a day and day of release where you can either see it for free, not for free, semi-free on streaming or go see it in the theaters. So.
Right. Yeah. Good point.
I don't know.
Speaking of Batgirl, Michael Keaton came out this week and said, I don't know why they canceled it, but I'm sure it was a pretty good reason. So you wonder if they were worried it was going to hurt The Flash or something. I don't know.
So with a Warner Brothers with a gun to his back, I'm sure it was a good reason. If I ever want to work again.
I'm sure that's exactly what it was. You're not going to go how stupid when you have a movie coming out with them. But I'm sure it was a good reason.
It was. And the thing is, one, it could be, if I'm thinking in kind of an underhanded way, that they are kind of building up a hype that's no longer there, saying, this mystery movie, what's it? Oh my gosh, it must, what could it be like? And, do they kind of milk that? And are they looking for fans to demand it? And then they release it and we're like, oh, I guess we didn't want, the Halloween producers got oh, it's got to be good. And they're like, oh, that's fine.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, Shelley's dead. Yeah, no.
Speaking of, I think next week or a couple weeks, I get to see that on the big screen.
Oh, yeah, at the Alamo, right?
In 3D. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh my God. I wish it was a movie party so we could speak along the line.
Oh yeah. Could you imagine if they did though, and it's just like you that knows all the lines, maybe one other person?
I'm sure a lot of people. Yeah, I don't know. The true.
Really, a lot of people probably do if they're showing it. There's a demand for it.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
But
I'm glad they're showing three. They're not just going with the first one. It's
don't know. I did see the first one and I guess technically big screen. The old LA Zoo.
Oh, during Halloween.
They were showing it. So I think I popped out there to kind of see it, which is kind of fun. I mean,
that a few years ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when that was happening.
And then the next day, I flew out from LA to Arizona to Adrian King was there.
Nice.
As well as Amy Steele and.
Oh, cool.
Dana Kimmel. First three time panels all together. I thought it was pretty special.
Wow, so, that's amazing.
Yeah, I was like, well, I just saw you on the big screen last night. And
yeah.
You were a big hit.
Well, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Good times.
Does Ellie old? Do they still do that, or is it just kind of during Halloween time?
I don't remember if they did it last year.
Yeah.
It's only during Halloween.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I think I did see the first four Friday the 13th on the big screen at what's the cinema in Santa Monica? Anyway,
smaller theater.
Yeah, they shot Sleepwalkers there. Yeah, anyway, yeah, I know. So yeah, so I remember they shot all four. I mean, not shot, showed all four, and I was like, oh, I've seen them all before. I didn't want to sit through all of them, but I had just. Yeah. I think the day before, 2 days before, I went to the Jarvis Cabin. I'm like, well, I have to stick through.
You got
to
go now.
I just saw it.
It's all nostalgic and like fun.
And the 3D, the part three, either it wasn't in 3D or they were using the red, blue 3D, which is not. Oh. And so I think I just kind of closed my eyes during most of it. So
I'm just going to take a nap.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to be our show for tonight. Sorry, I got this crazy cat jumping everywhere. Unless you had anything else, Robert?
No, that's what cats are for.
That's what cats are for. From all of us here at the Podcastle, thank you for listening to Set Jetter Saturdays, and we will see you on the set.